to be in orbit.
This week on What It Means to Be Human, leading UFO researcher Vinnie Adams from the Channel Disclosure Team takes us deep into the heart of Colombia and high into the Andes, where ancient knowledge meets the night sky. For 2 weeks, Vinnie's team, myself included, braved treacherous mountains and spoke with the Muisca tribe elders in search of the dancing lights of La Peña de Huayca, a centuries-old phenomena the locals call ancestor lights. Our goal was simple: to capture those ancient lights on film for the first time in history. What we found changed nothing, yet somehow it changed everything. And now, onto the show with Vinnie Adams.
I'm Vinnie Adams. I am a UFO researcher, investigator, podcaster, content creator from the UK. I think the UFO subject first entered my kind of world when I was a kid, I suppose. I remember going to the movie theater in the early 80s to see E.T., the extraterrestrial. And my parents still to this day say, you know, you cried at the end when E.T. had to go home. And that's always stuck in my head for some reason, you know, as a child, you know, that concept of being visited by something not of this world. You know, through my 20s and 30s, I touched upon a lot of fringe subjects, you know, from books that I was reading. So anything from ancient Egypt and secret societies and even Bigfoot for a while, I was kind of looking at, you know, looking into a bit. But eventually I landed on UFOs and it really grabbed me, put me on this path that just kept me fully engaged, fully intrigued. And yeah, it's just, there's nothing else that's ever really done that to me before. So I started a Disclosure Team right at the end of 2020 on Instagram, which then obviously grew into quite a reasonable sized account, which then prompted me to start the Disclosure Team podcast. And I was contacted by an account on Instagram just called UAP Colombia. There was no face or name to the account, so I didn't know who I was talking to. And they were telling me about this story that of these two mountain peaks in this rural valley outside of Bogota, of this mysterious light phenomena. These looked kind of like plasma-ish orbs. Some of them were maybe more like, I suppose you could describe them as streaks of light. They weren't necessarily spherical. And they were very rare. It wasn't something that happened all the time. The gentleman behind it, Ashley Cowie, contacted me to say, you know, I'm putting together a team to come out and really dig in and investigate this and make a documentary series. He did a few TV series on some networks out in the US, and I was like, okay, this guy is genuine, he's legit, he's got the credentials to put together this kind of thing. And I think I was the first to say yes, and then we continued putting together this incredible team. So when we got to Colombia, we all sat around a big table in this beautiful old farmhouse, which was our headquarters for the time that we were there. And it was actually opposite the main mountain, La Peña de Huayca. And so we were in a prime location. And you really feel this valley because these mountain ranges are right down each side of it. And it's so beautiful. During that initial meeting, Ash set out our schedule for the 2 weeks of all the different things that we were going to be doing, whether it be the investigating, meeting locals, exploring the villages and towns in the surrounding areas. I just remember being so excited and just feeling so lucky to be in that position to be able to do that and experience it firsthand. When it comes to the light phenomena itself, there are records dating back to the 1600s in the local town in the archives. So, we have proper tangible proof that this has been around for a long time. It wasn't just word of mouth. It's actually documented. This light phenomena has been associated, obviously, with UFOs in more modern times with a lot of people in the area. But it dates back to some of the local tribes, like the Muisca tribe, and they believe that it's the spirits of their ancestors. When the conquistadors arrived from Spain and kind of took over and killed the locals, as it were, and took out the tribes, you know, they say that I think the last few hundred members of the tribe went onto the mountain peak of La Peña de Huayca and jumped to their deaths. It's steeped in this kind of mythical history with these varying viewpoints about what the lights actually represent. And whenever we would talk to anybody, it would just be so easy to talk to them about this subject, because to them it was everyday life. You know, these lights are here, they're spiritual, or they're, you know, visiting from elsewhere, from another dimension. And they talked about portals and things like that. Just absolutely blasé, like there's no stigma, no taboo or anything like that. So during the 2 weeks, you know, we'd gone out, we'd spoken to locals and things, and every night, where whatever we'd done in the day, we would all come back and convene, have dinner and sort of sit outside and look at the mountains, you know, looking out for any kind of light. There were so many exciting moments. We climbed to the peak of La Peña de Huayca, which in itself was an experience. It was to get an idea of where these lights appear, because, you know, a lot of the times they're really close to these peaks. There's only kind of really one main pathway up, and we had some local guide to guide us up the mountain. It wasn't actually officially open just to the general public to walk up it. There's little bits of climbing involved, like we're physically climbing up rocks. There's little sort of trenches, almost really narrow, but you know, they can be wet, it can be raining, and these can be really slippy. And so it's not just like there's a stone pathway up it or anything like that. You can feel the air getting thinner. I really struggled. I had to stop a lot just to catch my breath. It was such a strange and an experience I'd never felt before. You kind of get to this small platform at the top, or this clearing, and then you take a short side path leading down, and you suddenly appear on this ridge, which is called the Mirador, and you're just overlooking the valley, and we could see our HQ in the distance. And so you suddenly, you feel like you're on top of the world. It was such an amazing experience, and you really felt like you'd achieved something getting to the top. It was good to go there and kind of get an idea of what it felt like, and so yeah, that was really, really fulfilling. So, you know, it got towards the end of the 2 weeks. We'd kind of almost come towards the end of our schedule when it comes to filming and all of the different little activities that we had planned out. We'd kind of got all that done, and people had started to leave. There was only a handful of us left. And I just remember it was probably late morning, and I think it was just me and Ash went to the local town in his car. And I turned to him and I said, something feels different today. The air feels different. There's just some kind of charge in the air. And I didn't think anything of it. And so we kind of went about our day and got back to his lodge. It got to evening. It had started kind of getting to that dusky period just before it gets dark. And we were just hanging out. And all of a sudden, Ash, I just hear his voice just shouting my name. Vinny! The lights. And sure enough, I came running out, and there towards the top of the mountain is this light. Instantly I could see that it was it wasn't a normal kind of light. You know, it was kind of self-contained. It was almost moving within itself, beautiful kind of, I think it was a mixture of colors of oranges and blues and bits of reds. And yeah, that was the start of an hour and a half of absolute craziness.
Whoa, massive.
What?
That was a huge flash on the top of Huayca. I can see the light now. It's just down from the Mirador.
I can visualize it so clearly in my mind. We were all just overly excited, almost like big kids, just loud voices and excitement and just disbelief.
I saw it.
That's insane.
It would come and go and move and grow bigger and smaller, and I remember all the hair standing up on my body, on the back of my neck, on my arms. I remember in the moment not knowing what to think, because I hadn't expected to see anything. Ash was kind of saying to me, what do you think, Vinny? I'm like, I really don't know what to think. I don't know what I'm looking at. The lights were, like I said, they were appearing and disappearing, and they were moving slightly across different points on that peak, different sizes, very orb-like every time. We didn't see any streaks.
Look, there!
The fact that these kept disappearing and coming back over a span of an hour and a half was a very special show, and it was just so crazy to think that we hadn't expected to see them. It was happening just before I was going home. Like I said, others had already gone home. And so it was really strange. And it felt very personal. All the research I'd done before, starting all the platforms, the podcast and everything, it all felt like everything had been leading up to that one hour and a half on that one specific night in that one strange country, thousands of miles away from home. All of these things combined just felt like it was meant to be, like it was meant to happen. So obviously with the camera there, and you know, Ash had hit that record button straight away, and so we captured so much HD 4K footage of the lights, you know, from zooming into them and zooming back so that we could kind of see, you know, an idea of the depth and scale of the area, the mountain, the lights and things like that. And so we were very lucky to have captured them finally on video.
I can't believe you've seen the flashing lights at the top of Waika.
After the fact of seeing this thing, I didn't want to jump to any conclusions or make any assumptions that, oh, this was definitely a UFO, it was definitely anomalous. There was always the worry that we could, you know, could somebody be going up on the mountain at nighttime with torches, you know, hikers with torches. So we went back a year later, got some people up the mountain at night with some incredibly high-powered torches. We had a drone with thermal capabilities, and we did our very best to try and recreate the lights, and we came nowhere close. It was evident very quickly, very clearly, that we would need some incredible equipment, which you physically couldn't even carry up there, to recreate the lights and the size and the effects and the depth, the scale and the visuals would... Yeah, it was definitely not regular torches or hikers. I mean, to this day, I don't know what it was. It was absolutely a true unknown, a true rarity. Whatever it is, it's waiting for either us to go back and do more work on it or a completely new team. But, you know, there is so many potentials and possibilities. It would be a perfect scientific expedition with real equipment, real scientists, you know, really trying to dig deeper and get to the bottom of what it was. It's just sitting there waiting. I think that's almost a beautiful thing for me, is not knowing. I don't need the answer. The fact that I saw it was enough for me. Do I want to know what it is? Yes, of course I do. But, you know, at this stage, I'm just happy to have seen it. I would say to anybody that's experienced anything anomalous, you know, it's their incident, it's their experience. If they want to talk about it, I think they should. There are people out there who will listen. They won't ridicule. At the same time, don't feel like you have to talk about it. I think everything comes down to the individual, but I'm happy talking about it, and I'm happy saying I don't know what it was, and I'm happy for people to say, well, it was most likely prosaic. I'm happy with anything like that. But that's just me, you know. I think to anybody out there that experienced anything, do what you will with your own experience, but don't let it like grind at you inside. If that's happening, reach out to people or find people. There are people out there. So yeah, I'm not a massive one for advice. It's just more like, I think people generally know what to do with their own incident, how it feels to them, whether they like talking about it or not. Yeah, so if anybody's interested in checking out the documentary series, it's called Phenomenology. Season 1 is available to watch now on YouTube.
If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Spotify or on your chosen platform. If you could like, share, or subscribe, that would be very much appreciated. It helps us find our tribe. If you'd like to support the show and get access to a 1-hour live chat each month and early ad-free access, you can find us at Patreon. Just follow the link in the show notes or at our website, tobehumanshow.com. And feel free to reach out via the contact page or email at hello@tobehumanshow.com. You can also find us on Blue Sky, Threads, Instagram, or X at tobehumanshow. As always, remember to be curious. The universe is bigger than we know.
What It Means to Be Human is a Double Barrel production. This week's episode was produced by Roz Mugford and Dan Zetterstrom. Sound post-production by Parker Mosley, with technical support from Dale Mugford. Our theme music is by Thunderbird.